Tonight's scripture reading is from Romans 10, verses 8 through 15. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is the Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is the word of our Lord.
Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we ask that you would be with us in a very special way as we share your word together. God, we ask that you would fill up our words with your word, that we might hear your voice, that we might see your glory, that we might be transformed by your love and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've spent the last couple of weeks since Pentecost talking about being the church. I shared with you the last couple of weeks that every time we come to Pentecost and I read those very cool verses in Acts chapter 2 about not only the first day of Pentecost, but what followed after that, after the Spirit came. How the believers, some of them brand new believers, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And how they gathered daily in the temple courts to worship together. It just reminds me of what an amazing thing the church is. You know, we live in a world right now that seems to think that the church is irrelevant, and some of that is their fault and some of that is our fault. But the reality of it is the church, the body of Christ, is the vehicle God has chosen to bring his kingdom. It's the vehicle God's chosen to show his glory, to reach out to a broken and hurting world. And so we talked about the things that the church is called to, the things that the church does in response to God's love. And we sort of been focused upward the last 2 weeks, thinking about worship and then thinking about prayer. And now we come to the place where this love that God has showered on us in Jesus Christ, this forgiveness, this new life, somehow pushes its way out into the world. And it pushes its way out of us in two ways. One of which is speaking the word, and one of which is doing the word. And I'm kind of separating them. We're going to do one this week and one next week, because I think both of them are so very important, and I don't just want to clump them together. We love St. Francis of Assisi, or at least the quote that's credited to St. Francis of Assisi, where he says, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. And we love that, because it just means we have to let Jesus come out through our actions, and our words don't really have to matter most times. Evangelism, the act of sharing our faith, of making disciples, of witnessing, if you will, to other people, is probably the one calling of the church that makes most of us really nervous. Some of that's because we've seen it done really badly. We've seen people who use their Bible as sort of a hammer to bang people over the head, thinking that maybe they can beat them into the kingdom of God. And we don't want any part of that, so we start kind of backing up away from that. And we'd much rather just let our actions show our faith. And yet in our passage tonight, as Paul tells the Roman church what exactly it is to be saved, if you will, to be born again, to be a believer in Jesus Christ. He reminds us that this word is very close to us. It's in our mouth and it's in our heart. And that we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Paul tells us that anyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. Anyone, Jew, Gentile, male, female, old, young, it doesn't matter. Anyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. And then he asks this really important question. How are people going to believe if someone doesn't tell them? How are they going to believe this wonderful news of Jesus Christ if someone doesn't tell them? Peter says in his first letter, be ready at all times to give the reason for the hope you have to anyone who asks, and do it gently and graciously. And so we have commands, if you will, to share our faith. You know how much I love God stories. And my very favorite God stories of all are to hear people's redemption stories, to hear their salvation stories, to hear how somebody was walking along in life and all of a sudden they stumbled over Jesus Christ and he turned their world upside down. I never get tired of hearing those stories. But what amazes me when I listen to the stories of people, they're so different. You know, some people hear the gospel preached one time and they're there, they're on it. They've had this amazing change in their life and they will never be the same. Some people have these incredible, dramatic road to Damascus conversions, if you will, where they were one person one day and somebody else the next. Some people fight and struggle and rebel against the gospel for years, and then all of a sudden, at some point, God grabs a hold of them. Some people come into the kingdom very, very slowly over a period of years. And you know, I find most people come into the kingdom slowly. Most people, it takes a while. God's calling and calling and calling us, and our ears are sort of stopped up, and we're filled with the busyness of the world around us and our crazy lives, and we just don't listen. And then gradually, God softens our heart. Gradually, we feel him calling us. We get a little bit of him, and we want a little bit more, and then one day we find ourselves like the tax collector in the temple on our knees, beating our chest, saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And so, since most people probably do not come to faith in an instant, it stands to reason that all of us have an opportunity to be a part of that. I love that in the scriptures, again and again, we see this image of farming. And some of us wind up tilling the ground. And some of us wind up planting the seed. And some of us wind up watering. And some of us wind up pulling out weeds, if you will. And some of us, sometimes, when we're so blessed and fortunate, we get to pick ripe fruit. We get to see the harvest of people coming to Jesus. But everybody has a part in that. And again, that's a little scary sometimes. It's a little scary to think about going out and sharing your faith. It's scary for a couple reasons. It's scary because we don't want to be embarrassed. It's scary because we don't want people to think we're nuts. But it's also scary because somehow we have in our head that what we're asked to do is to give a theology lesson. That somehow what we're asked to do is to get people to the place where they give intellectual assent to a theological truth. So we think we don't know enough. We think our theology isn't secure enough. We think we can't answer every possible question that somebody could have, like, where was God in the Holocaust? And so we don't say anything. I'm reminded of when Jesus was praying. John recorded it in the 17th chapter of his gospel, right before he was arrested, right before his crucifixion. And he's praying to his Father, and he says this. He says, "This is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And all of a sudden, we're reminded that as important as theology is, and as much as we want to have good, proper, orthodox theology, what it comes down to, what salvation comes down to, is relationship. Relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. And I think sometimes if we could start sharing our faith through the context of relationship, we might find it a little bit easier. Our relationship with God and our relationship with the people that we long to see meet Jesus. I always know when people have gotten a new friend or are spending a lot of time with someone new, because all of a sudden in their conversation, you hear this name. So-and-so said, "I was talking to so-and-so, so-and-so and I." A lot of times it's easy to tell when somebody has a new friend or maybe they're starting a new romantic relationship because their conversation is peppered with the name of this person. My daughter, who was always very private about her dating life as a young adult, I always kind of figured out when she met somebody new, because all of a sudden her stories would be full of the name of somebody. So how much more us, who have been invited into this intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, who invites us daily to spend time with him, who longs to press ourselves into who we are, who longs to transform us, how much more should we be free to have our conversation peppered with that name above all names? And so maybe the first best step we can take if we want to be people who share their faith is to press into Jesus Christ, is to make him a priority, not just a priority that we talk about, but a priority that we experience in our lives by being serious about spending time with him, by being serious about inviting him in to not only the church part of our lives, but to all part of our lives, that we might be filled up with him, that we might have stories to tell about how he met us in ordinary moments of our lives, how he answered prayers even though we didn't really believe he was going to, how he showed up in every detail of the situation that we were anxious and worried about, that we could just live our relationship, if you will, out in front of the people in our lives. Because we're not just giving people a get out of hell free card. As important, as glorious, as wonderful as heaven is, it is only so because that's where Jesus is. And so what we really desire is to invite people into a relationship with him. It doesn't matter if we don't have all the right words. It doesn't matter if we can't answer all the hard questions. What we can say to our friends is, "Hey, I would love for you to meet my friend Jesus." My friend Jackie is with us tonight, and you all are getting to know her well because she's blessed us with her presence and her voice and her spirit on Thursday night. And Friday, we had the opportunity to sing with Jackie and her friend, Virginia. And we met Virginia, and we loved her immediately. There was just a bond between us. And so Virginia's here tonight. So I met Virginia through my friend, Jackie. And so now I can introduce all of you to her. Just simple and natural. And that's what I would long for us to be able to do with our relationship with Jesus. I love the fact when Peter gives his instruction to be ready to give the reason for our hope to everyone who asks. It reminds us that sometimes God does not call us to be a bulldozer, knocking down everybody in our way. Hey, did you hear about Jesus? Hey, did you hear about Jesus? Hey, did you hear about Jesus? But to live out our faith, to live out this relationship with Jesus so that people ask us, what is it that makes you like that? You know, I've watched Doug Bellevue go through his chemotherapy with more grace and faith than I could even imagine. And I can't imagine that the people at work aren't saying, wow, how is he doing that? He's doing that because he surrendered his life to Jesus Christ, because he's living in relationship to him, because he's drawing upon the strength of Jesus, even when his faith wavers. It is beautiful to see someone living out their faith. It's beautiful to see someone living out their faith, even in messy, ugly, frustrating circumstances. It doesn't matter that we don't have it all together. It doesn't matter that we mess up. It doesn't matter that sometimes we have doubts and questions. It's part of the sanctification process that we're in. But what matters is that we're available to the God who longs to tell his story through our broken lives. And so how do we do it? How do we find that balance between not barging in and not holding back? How do we find that balance between not being incredibly obnoxious and not being way too timid and shy? I am encouraged by the fact that people come to the gospel, people come to Jesus, people come to salvation in all different ways. And we're a room full of people with all different kinds of personalities and gifts. And so God can use every one of us. Again, not to teach a theology lesson, but to share the truth of Jesus Christ alive in us. Mystery that once was hidden, the hope of glory. I want to be careful about boxing people in with words. I remember while I was still working, I had a beautiful older woman named Philomena, which is interesting because an older beautiful woman named Philomena is now my mother-in-law. This was a different Philomena who was a very, very devout Catholic. We also had a woman who worked there named Dot who was a fiery Pentecostal. Fiery. And one day I was doing something in the warehouse and Philomena came to me in tears. And she said, I'm so upset. And I said, what's wrong? What's going on? And she said, Dot told me that I have to be born again to get to heaven. So I'm just looking at her, and she said, and I thought all I had to do was believe in Jesus and that he died for my sins. She got it. She just didn't have the same vocabulary that Dot was using. So we have to look past people's vocabulary into their heart. I referred to the tax collector earlier, but that story always hits me so strongly. Because the Pharisee walks into the temple, thanking God for how good he is, looking at this despicable tax collector, saying, God, I thank you that I'm not like that, that I tithe, that I fast twice a week, that I do all these amazing things for you, God. And the tax collector falls on his knees, can't even lift his face, beats his breast, and he says, God, have mercy on me. Jesus says, that's the man who went home right with God. That's the man who went home redeemed. And so we have to look past vocabulary into hearts. We have to remember how this thing is grounded in relationship from beginning to end, that our triune God, who is in relationship with himself, if you will, longs for us to be in relationship with him and then us to be in relationship with one another and us to be able to invite other people into that relationship. And so I'm going to issue you a challenge tonight. I'm picking the random number 3. You don't have to pick 3. You could pick 1. You could pick 10, whatever number you like. But I'm going to challenge you with 3. I'm going to challenge you to start thinking now and continue when you go home of 3 people in your life. They could be in your family. They could be in your work. They could be your neighbors. They could be somebody you meet at the store, somebody you know well, an old friend, whatever it is. Doesn't matter. Think of 3 people that you know who need to meet Jesus Christ, who need to find this amazing grace, this never-ending love, this life-giving relationship of being born anew into the kingdom of God. And I want you just to start praying for them. Every day, if you can, praying for your 3 people or your 1 people, or if you're ambitious, 20 people, if you're an overachiever, whatever it is, just keep these people in your head and in your mind. And just start praying for them that God would soften their heart. Just start praying that they would be hungry for the bread of life. And then after you do that, start praying that God will open doors. And I guarantee you, as you live your relationship with him out, if you will, in front of the world, I'm not talking about showing off. I'm not talking about putting on a church face. I'm just talking about letting him get into every part of our lives. People are going to ask you questions. God's going to prompt people to wonder, to start conversations. So pray that God's going to do that, and then pray that you are going to jump in, that you are going to be sensitive to that nudge of the Spirit, and you're going to trust God to give you words and to invite people into eternal life, to know the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. We're called to be light in the darkness. We're called the salt of the earth. We're God's plan to build his kingdom. It always kind of shakes me when I think Jesus picked 12 men and said, have at it. He didn't have a plan B. Those 12 men went out and changed the world. Fired up by God's Spirit, changed by a relationship with Jesus Christ. Doing things they never thought they could do. Having God use them in ways they'd never imagined because they were so in love with their Savior that he became what they lived for. If you could do that through 12 men and wind up on the day of Pentecost with 3,000 new believers, what could he do with this handful of believers right here in this room? Will you pray with me? Lord, you know our hearts. You know how scary it is to share our faith. You know, sometimes we're tempted to have a program, a routine. Lord, but we don't just want to say empty words. We don't want to get people to agree to a theological thought. Lord, we want to see people find you in their lives. So, Lord, press yourself into our lives that you would be more and more real. God, help us get used to just talking about you casually. Lord, help us to seek you with all our heart, that we would find you in the big and the little moments of our lives, that we would have God's stories to tell, that we would have prayers that you've answered, that we would have things that you're working out in us that we could share with the people around us. God, put people on our hearts that you are calling to your kingdom. Put them on our hearts in a heavy way, that we think and pray for them every day. And then, God, we pray that you are going to open doors, you are going to start conversations, you are going to make us sensitive to the nudge of your Spirit, God, that we might indeed have words of life for people who are hungry for them. God, we cannot do it without you. So lead the way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.